Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Living Astrology with host Janet Hickox, intuitive astrologer and human design consultant, and her co-host Jason Levanis, intuitive tarot card reader and teacher, as well as feng shui consultant. At Living Astrology Radio, we are committed to empowering people to reach for the stars. Now enjoy the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology. I'm your host, Janet Hickox, and I'm guessing There's my Jason from the East Coast. How are you doing?
I am fantastic. I had a Reiki and deep tissue massage today, and I am feeling the love.
I'm so happy for you, because it's been a stressful week, hasn't it?
Oh, my God. I don't know what is happening with Uranus. But I want to tell you, it has, sometimes when your anus gets overactive, I've had so many people call me this week, Janet, with sudden horrifying shifts, like, and they were all home related, interestingly enough. I literally had to pull some friends out of the fire. It was crazy. I'm just thanking God. I'm blessed, you know, that this wasn't my particular path for the week, that the energies didn't affect me that way. I, you know, of course, knock on wood, watch, I've just jinxed it. But it has been a really, to use a word, tumultuous week.
It really has. You know, I personally, I thought I was skating and then suddenly sucker punched this afternoon just before the show, and that never makes me happy, but it seems like it's all been about homes and cars or vehicles and jobs. That, you know, I almost feel this domino effect going on.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was trying to spin a positive light on it because, like I said, I just had my energies manipulated, as it were, today. And no, there was no, you know, a happy ending, but the fact of the matter is last week, some of the listeners might remember, like a month and a half ago, my car died during that really screwed up Mercury retrograde, and I got a new car, and it was a Chevy Blazer in great shape. The mechanics told my sister who was selling me the car, oh, it's a great car, it's in great shape, no problems. And, you know, on Sunday, I pull up to the house after driving it for only a half an hour, and it looked like I was in a smokehouse down south. I couldn't believe the billows of smokes. So the car died, and now it's in the shop again. So I don't know what to tell you, except I'm not letting it get me down. I refuse.
Right, right. There's that. But I know that it seems like there's so much chaos, and I'm really upset because, of course, you know, when things happen to me or in my family or to my friends, I'm the first one that's on the websites looking for astrology information. You know, the transits. What's going on in my chart? What's going on in her chart? What's going on in his chart?
Right.
And you know, strangely enough, I cannot pinpoint it to anything specific. And I feel like it is sort of a natural falling away of some things that were set in motion earlier in 2016 when we moved into a nine year from a numerology standpoint, which nine is all about endings. And so here we are in crunch time. I mean, my God, it's already November. So if we don't start closing up and letting go now, we'll never do it. And I think that's part of what's gone on. And I think, you know, today, I'm so glad that our guest is with us today because I really, really could use her advice and her help in combining peace and compassion. I think that's such a great combination. And, you know, earlier in this what was it, about a month ago, I think I announced to everybody that I was going to try to bring people in and do shows around the theme that Jupiter in Libra is bringing us, which is about relationships. And so to that end, of course, now as we are entering into November, what do we have coming up in front of us but the holidays, where we have the opportunity to sit at the dinner table with all our favorite family members. Don't let me choke on that one. And I personally have a family that I love to be around most of the time, but some people don't have that. And so how do you face that anxiety? How do you deal with that upcoming pressure that only our family can push our buttons in the way that, you know, really gets to us? So what can we do about that? So our show today is going to be about that aspect of relationships. How can we still have compassion for ourselves, for our families, and get through the holiday season without or with the minimal amount of stress?
Tell you, there are a couple ways that we can get through the holidays, but I personally would highly recommend that any of you out there, and the reason I'm recommending this is because I have had more aha moments in the last 2 months than I've had probably in the last 10 years. And what am I talking about? This is not me blowing sunshine up your ass, by the way, but this is coming from a truthful place. For all of you that don't know, I have a life coach, and her name is Janet Hickok. She's a sweet-looking blue-eyed goddess. And what she has been life coaching me on, lightly on the perimeter of astrology, but mostly she has been coaching me on human design. And it's been fascinating because anybody who doesn't know about this human design, it is this understanding of an energetic workup of how it is that you live and you operate in the world. I had not known about this understanding, and what happened was is Janet has done my chart for me. And interestingly enough, the only person that's alive in my family, immediate family, is my sister. And, you know, we're crazy Greek people. The joke that no one in my family ever had a headache. They all had, you know, a brain tumor. Oh, it's a brain, it's cancer. You know, never anything normal. Well, my sister and I love each other fiercely, and we fight fiercely. And I try to moderate myself and all this stuff. Finally, Janet did a chart on her. And she has given me such a wealth. I'm talking about you like you're not there. Don't you love that? She has given me a wealth of information like, well, this is why this is happening, and this is how you can avoid this, and this is how you can do better. So, yes, I want everybody to listen to what our guest Amy has to say, but I would encourage all of you to get in touch with Janet for a human design chart, especially. I mean, yeah, you can do the astrology thing, but a human design chart. And get a coaching with her so you can figure out how it is that you would most successfully operate in the world. Janet, if people were to do such a thing, how, blue-eyed goddess, would they get in touch with you?
Well, that would be really easy. They could reach out to me at my website, which is www.living-astrology.com, or via email at janet@living-astrology.com. Thank you so much, Jason. You're such a boost to my ego on days when I'm flagging.
It is. No, but it's the truth. I mean, if one of the things that Janet and I hold in common is that we hate bullshitters and we hate lying. I'm just like the worst poker face in the world. Like, please don't ask me if your ass looks fat in those pants, because I'm going to tell you they do. It's just the way I'm hooked up. And if anybody would like to get a tarot card reading from me, they can contact me at Zen Staging, one word, like Zen Buddhism, zenstaging@gmail.com. And look out for my new webpage coming out soon called Titillating Tarot with Jason Levanis, as well as a new show coming up in November, November 16th, that I'm launching at the behest of Janet Hickox, who has been encouraging me to do so because we've gotten such great response to the tarot card readings on her show. So now that I've blabbed enough, would you like to bring in our guest, or did you have some astrological chit-chat to get through?
No, today I think the stars don't have any more messages. I'm not going to say what I was going to say, so I'm going to bring in Amy. Amy
awesome.
Colvin
bring,
is
I'll
a dear friend of mine.
Amy for you.
You can unmute her mic. That would be awesome. Amy
wonderful.
Is...
Amy, welcome.
Thank you.
Oh. Hi, Amy. How are you doing?
I'm well. I was pausing to not interrupt you anymore.
Thank you so much. But anyway, I want to introduce my friend Amy here, who lives not, I mean, if we should have been in the same room to do the show today, Amy, because she lives just a couple of blocks over from me on this little island that we share in Washington State. And Amy is a wonderful meditation leader and teacher, I guess I would say. And she is also the author of a new book called Cultivating Compassion, Simple Everyday Practices for Discovering Peace of Mind and Resilience. And oh God, today, Amy, I need that peace of mind and resilience. So it is my pleasure to introduce everyone to Amy. And Amy, I'm going to leave it to you to tell us a little bit about more about yourself and how you came to get involved with compassionate meditation and anything else that you want to share with us about you personally.
Great. All right. Thanks, Janet. Thanks, Jason. It's great to be here. And I'll do my best to help you find ways to be peaceful today, Janet. And just to second what Jason was saying, I've had astrology readings done with Janet, and she'd done a human design chart. But since Jason had such raving things to say, Janet, you and I will have to talk about me maybe doing some human design stuff with you, because I suspect nice. It's pretty powerful. So I've been following a Taoist path of meditation for about 20 years, and my bread and butter job to date has been being a massage therapist. And one of the things I've noticed over all the years of being a massage therapist is most people come to see me because they're stressed out in one way or another. That's manifesting either emotionally or it's manifesting physically. And so I get to spend an hour or hour and a half with them to see if I can help them that way. But what I realized is that I've had such profound transformations in my own life through my meditation practice that I really wanted to start helping people help themselves. And I know that mindfulness is all the rave out there. I think Jon Kabat-Zinn and mindfulness-based stress reduction has done a fabulous job of bringing meditation and mindfulness mainstream. But my Taoist practice is very compassion-oriented. And I thought, well, I really want to facilitate something that's compassion-oriented. My teacher is a fabulous Asian man in his 70s who pretty much says, okay, now do it. And that's the end of the discussion. And that's not always the way everybody in the Western world gets information. So I looked around for a while and I found out that Stanford has put together an 8-week compassion meditation program. So a couple of years ago, I went through Stanford's teacher training program and I'm certified to facilitate their content. And in the process, I loved what I learned about their content, but realized that I wanted to blend it with a little bit of my own background. So I came up with my own content. And for anybody that is curious about what I'm doing after the show is over, I actually have an online class that's starting this upcoming Sunday that you are welcome to contact me and join us. It's fully interactive, just like this radio conversation is right now. More so even because, you know, it's not just me talking at you, but every person in the class gets to talk with each other. But ultimately, my goal really is to help people help themselves. And as Janet alluded to, help people find peace.
Yes. Peace and compassion. Now tell me about the compassion piece of this, because that to me is what makes you so unique in all of this. And compassion is a word that I recognize in almost everything that people have been telling me about themselves, you know, the things that are going on with them over the last several weeks, is that there's a component here where we want to beat ourselves up over the things that are happening in our lives. And so compassion to me has to speak to more than just me being compassionate to my outer world friends and family, but also to myself. So tell me about the meditation and how that plays into it, how compassion comes into it.
Absolutely. For me, the heart of compassion starts with acceptance and acknowledgement of what's going on. So rather than suppressing and denying whatever emotion you may feel about yourself in the moment or someone else, having the courage to actually go, you know what, I am freaking pissed off right now, either at myself or at someone else. So being willing to acknowledge it and not go, oh, you know, I'm such a nice person. I never get angry. Well, you know, a couple of students in past classes have said that to me in 1 week of the class, and the next week of the class, they come back and they go, okay, now I finally figured out what anger feels like. I'm like, right on. but it's so important. It's really important to acknowledge and name whatever it is that you're experiencing. And then being willing to accept the fact that you're a human being, and all human beings struggle in one way or another with themselves to start. And being able to say, you know what, man, or case in point, I mean, I'm sitting down in my meditation studio. I've got a really nice Persian rug, had a nice glass of water, bumped it with my knee, poured water all over this carpet.
Oh, and no.
It's like, I'm thinking, first of all, I'm really glad that that wasn't pomegranate juice.
Or cherry juice or wine.
Yeah, or wine or coffee or whatever. But then it was just like, you know, there's no point in being angry about this. There's no point in being upset about it. It's spilled. Okay, take action. Oh, and that's where that compassion piece comes in. So compassion itself has three components. The first component is awareness of what you're feeling. And that kind of talks back or goes back to what I was just mentioning about owning whatever it is. It's like, I spilled the water. The first thing I thought is, oh no, I really hope it doesn't ruin the rug. And, you know, so there was anxiety around that. And then the second component of compassion, after you recognize something's going on, is that you are emotionally moved by it. So mm-hmm. I am feeling this anxiety, and then I'm feeling a little bit sad. It's like, oh, this is a really nice rug. And then the third step is to take action. So, and that's where the difference between empathy and compassion comes in, is often empathy is all around, oh, I feel your pain. And then you get stuck in your own pain, the other person's pain. But the pure action, the pure process of taking action begins to move that energetically out of us and into the universe. So
that's
in my
beautiful.
Case, it was real easy. I went into the bathroom, grabbed a towel and soaked up the water.
Right. It's sort of empowering as well then, correct? That you're not just a victim of some kind of happenstance or circumstance. There's something that can be done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So then, you know,
and
since
in a way,
yeah, go ahead.
And in a way, I was just thinking about it. It's pretty, I know this is going to sound like a strange left-handed compliment, but it's pretty selfish, because I know that when I act from a place of compassion and I do something, I take action, I feel incredible after. I feel full. I feel connected. I feel part of God, if I can use a dirty word. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that is one of the biggest challenges, is that for some reason, our society in the United States and other Western societies as well have turned that idea of self, you know, of compassion into sort of a dirty word. Oh, I'm being selfish. You know, I mean, that's exactly the word you use, Jason. I'm being selfish. And the fact of the matter is, in order for us to serve others, we have to be whole within ourselves.
Yep.
And so really, by setting your own boundaries and taking care of yourself and creating that really solid foundation where you can look at yourself in any given moment and say, I like me. Yeah, I just effed up. And that's okay. I still like me. And then from that place, you can then extend your energy, your grace, your action toward other people. And it's really hard to get some folks to be able to say, oh, it's okay for me to take care of me.
Gosh, you know, I wish we had that on a sound bite, because not that I'm poo-pooing our listeners, but I can't tell you, Amy, if you do listen to the show, you know, we got more than a handful of people where I'm like, get down off that cross. We need the wood. Please start thinking positively about yourself. You're such a jewel into the universe. And then, you know, you wonder, where did they miss out on that one part of like, okay, we're mixed bags. It's not all bad. It's not all good. We're not perfect. But
right.
Take it easy on yourself.
Nice. And there, you know, there's a lot of truth in that too, because we do sort of become very self-flagellating every time something happens, you know, that we see where we've messed up our lives, or we, you know, done something and it didn't work out the way we thought it would. So then if we have this opportunity for compassionate meditation, what are some of the benefits that we get from doing that?
Oh, great question. And I'll go right back to that self-flagellating thing, you know, because the fact of the matter is...
I thought that was a different show.
trying to get me
all excited here. Jeez.
Yeah, you go stand in the corner, Jason. You go ahead and stand in the corner. We'll just listen to you over there.
I love it when the ladies discipline me. Go ahead.
So, you know, part of, you know, so going back to that idea, I'm in a place in my life now where I do genuinely like me. But when I was a kid, I literally would go hide in the closet and beat myself up with an invisible cat of nine tails. And, you know, I would feel like I was sticking invisible pins in me, and I didn't really like me at all. You know, I didn't, in terms of growing up in families, I had it better than some, but there was some sort of undercurrent that made me want to beat myself up. And it wasn't until I hit my mid-30s that I actually realized I wasn't invisible. And, you know, and that's probably very surprising to you, Janet, because you know me, but I used to beat myself up horribly, and this is where I find the benefit of meditation, and particularly compassion meditation. You know, in fact, in the introduction of the book that you mentioned, I relate a story where a few years ago I was in a relationship. It was actually a marriage that was really not right for me. Mm-hmm. He wasn't a bad guy. I wasn't a bad girl. We were just really not meant to be together. And I'm sure you guys here know about that too.
Janet is one of those. See, Janet doesn't know that. She's been together with her husband for like a gajillion years. She's one of those blessed people.
Thanks, Jason.
You're welcome.
I bet it's not without its challenges, though.
Definitely. There's that.
Ask her about chili. Go ahead.
Don't ask me about chili.
Chili.
Go ahead.
At the time, I used to ride the bus to work, and I remember being on the bus, and the bus crossed a bridge that went over a canal of water, and there was a time when driving home across the bridge at night, and it was wintertime and it was dark, and I'd think, oh my God, I would so much rather be in that water and never come up than go home. And I thought, that's an interesting thought. And then what I realized, it was the exact same thought day after day for about 2 weeks. And I'm like, whoa. I mean, I wasn't ever going to take action on it, but the fact that I was so heart heavy and energetically locked up that I really felt that it was better to disappear in that water than go home. It's like, okay, time to do something else. So I thought, now what do I know that I'm not using? And I thought, oh, there's meditation. So I began to find time for myself to meditate. And one of the super wonderful things about a Taoist form of meditation is that it's really energetically oriented. And as such, there's a lot of movement that can spontaneously arise. So, and this is a special story for you guys. It's not in my book, and I don't always tell it to everybody, but I think the two of you and maybe your listeners can relate. So I ended up kind of settling into meditation, and I was trained to allow that spontaneous movement to arise, and I kind of started feeling a little bit of a sway, like I was a piece of kelp in the ocean, really peaceful and nice, super familiar with it. And then the next thing you know, I'm on all fours snarling like a dog. I'm like, this is interesting, and I'm going around in a circle.
Wait, are we back to that other show again?
Yeah.
Wait, you need to tell me that you were in your meditation, you were snarling. You didn't, like, get taken over by an entity, right?
No, I didn't. I didn't get taken over by an entity. I was just connecting with my own internal wisdom. I was connecting with my own sense of source, my own sense of divine, and allowing it to express itself. I mean, so often we suppress what our internal wisdom tells us to do because our brains say, mm-mm, don't want to look at that. So I was vulnerable enough and willing to be open enough to it. And then, and I, you know, it's not like I thought to myself, okay, I'm going to get on all fours and snore like a dog. It was spontaneous and it just happened. And it was massively illuminating because at the end of that meditation, I thought, okay, this is it. I need to leave. And, you know, a friend of mine had told me, okay, you really need to pack a go bag before you think you need a go bag. So get one packed. And the next day, I said to my husband at the time, I said, you know what, I'm going to go over to some other place for 2 weeks. And then we ultimately ended up divorcing and it was amicable and so on and so forth. But that moment in time was, and the other thing about it is that meditation in general and that specific meditation helped me learn how important it was for me to stand on my own 2 feet. You know, coming
or
from the girl
four,
who
or all
hide in the
feet.
Closet and self-flagellate.
Yeah.
Wait. Yeah.
And when was that? Was that what you would say is like what started you on the path to seeking, you know, more answers through meditation?
I would say so. I mean, I had been following this meditation path for maybe 6 years before that, but I wasn't taking it seriously. You know, mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I would go to a weekend workshop now and then, but I wasn't really practicing. And then when I needed it, and this is one of the things I say to all the students in my classes, it's like, right on, you're taking my class right now. And it may seem like it's trivial. Maybe it's immensely powerful. I don't know. Everybody's different. But there might come a time down the road when you're in a moment of crisis and you need another tool, you can use it.
Yeah. And meditation is a great tool.
Yeah.
So for those people who are just tuning in, today we are talking with Amy Colvin, author of the book Cultivating Compassion, Simple Everyday Practices for Discovering Peace of Mind and Resilience. And Amy, you know, tell us, let's transition a little bit to the book because I really love this book. And of course, I love books, but I love books like this one that you've written where you have actions that you can take and a step-by-step process. So tell us about the book, how you came to the writing of it, and let people know where they can get their copy of it.
Great, thanks. I'm glad you like the book. So it was sort of a perfect storm of things. I mean, I've always thought in the back of my mind, oh, it'd be nice to write a book, but never really put any concerted effort into it. And then for some reason, and I don't even remember the context, my oldest sister, Nancy, said to me, well, have you ever thought about writing a book? And I said, yeah, but I have no idea what I'd write about. And she goes, well, think about all the things you have on your blog and think about the things that you use in your classes. So I let that simmer for a little while. And then through another source of information, I found out about a program called Self-Publishing School. And I looked at their intro videos and I thought, you know, this is pretty cool because they were like, we'll get you from zero to published in 90 days. Money back guarantee. Yeah.
That's quite a promise.
Yeah. And you'll be a number one bestseller on Amazon. And I'm like,
whoa.
I'm willing to throw down the gauntlet. Okay. I'm spending my money with you. You tell me you can do this. Let's get it done. And if it doesn't happen, then I'm asking for my money back. So anyway, I got engaged with this program. But really what I wanted to do was create a book and originally I thought it would be a 28-day book, and it turned out to be a 66-day book. And it turns out that if you want to write a book and have a printable spine, it has to have a minimum of 120 pages. So 28 days, 4 weeks, build your meditation practice, build a compassion meditation practice. Okay, inspirational ideas, 3 pages of text. And I was talking to a coach and she said, no, your inspiration is going to get lost. Why don't you just leave it at a page or two and make it a flip book so that somebody can get an idea really quickly? And I'm like, okay. So then I came up with the idea of 66 because current research says that on average it takes 66 days to develop a new habit. And it's like, hey, who wouldn't want to develop this new habit? So then, indeed, as my sister suggested, I began pulling inspirational snippets out of my blog. I began pulling. So the way the book is set up is on the left-hand page, as you're looking at it, there's an inspirational idea that's supported by context. And then on the right-hand page are some questions for self-reflection that tie back with that inspirational idea. And then below that are suggestions for daily action, taking something out into the day. So, you know, it could be that the suggestion for daily action that day is to smile at strangers. You know, at least once an hour, if you're cruising around through life, smile at a stranger, open a door for somebody. So it's really simple and incredibly practical stuff, and it's not very woo-woo at all, which, you know, for some people, I mean, like us, it's like, hey, I'm all about woo-woo. It's really nice. I get it. I can engage with it. But, you know, one of my other sisters wrote a review and she's like, I like this book because it's not woo-woo and it speaks to the engineer in me. And I'm like, okay.
Ah, cool. That's great.
So that's how the book came about. And if people are interested in finding that, you can go to Amazon.com. And you can either just type in my name, Amy, A-M-Y, Colvin, C-O-L-V-I-N, and or you can type in compassion meditation as a general theme, and you'll find it listed on the first page there. Or you can visit my website, www.compassionatebalance.com, and there is a clickable link on the right-hand side of the page. That then also takes you to the ability, and it's in both printed form and as an ebook. So whichever suits your reading style best.
Yeah. Wonderful. So I just opened up my ebook because I got it on Kindle, and I opened up to the perfect one. Day 61. Good. Take care of yourself. Caring itself is love. Caring starts with self. From there, you can extend to others. I love it. And then self-reflection on that. Why might extending acceptance and compassion to the self and others be useful? And do I find this easy or challenging? And then there's a spot that says informal practice. Today, I will be aware of my own needs and open-heartedly take care of them. Once my needs are met, I will explore opportunities to extend kindness toward others. And wow, that is sort of like the hardest thing for us to do, isn't it? To take care of our own needs first, where most people would, you know, believe that that meant I was being selfish. And that's not so easy. So this would be a really interesting practice for me to do today.
Great. Well, you know, and I love the fact that you used it like a flip book. So, and you just open it up to a page and it was the right page for you.
Yes,
ladies.
I love books
that do. I am very often the fly in the ointment because Janet loves to engage in conversation with her big old Gemini self, and then my left side brain Capricorn says, "Move it along, lady. We got like 20 minutes left." So, at the rate of being not particularly rude, I would like to get into some nitty gritty about dealing with the familia, especially around the holidays. I have a quick and funny anecdote for you, Amy, and I think that you'll find amusing. Maybe you can use it for your classes. When I was young, I had an idol, and his name was Johnny Carson, if anybody remembers him. And he was an incredible gentleman who spoke French and could interview anyone and just knew how to handle himself, was debonair and funny and charming and all that. And he had Shirley MacLaine on during a time when she had transitioned from pretty much from acting into writing books of enlightenment and Out on the Limb, among others. And one book came out of her after another about enlightenment. And those two, Johnny and Shirley, had known each other for a long time. And there was this one glistening moment that could not have been timed more perfectly, which I'm sure I won't do justice. But she was sitting there, and Johnny said, "Well, Shirley, you know, I've read your books and I love them, and it's really incredible to see how enlightened you've become. And is, you know, what's that like being enlightened all the time?" She looked straight deadpan into the camera and said, "Johnny, don't fool yourself. I'm basking in the light, walking in the light until I go home for Thanksgiving."
That's
so
great.
That being said, as your setup, tell us a little bit about how we don't purchase a flamethrower or a guillotine or electroshock treatment during the holidays for our loved ones.
Well, that's an excellent setup. Thank you. And I'm glad that we're going down this path at this point. So I have a couple of suggestions that people can try.
Earplugs?
What? Earplugs.
Earplugs?
Yeah, la, 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 la.
Exactly. You can be more overt and just stick your fingers in your ears and say la, 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 la.
Drugs and alcohol. No.
That's another one. These are great. Okay. What do you guys need me for?
Sorry about that. I am trying to take it seriously. You know, growing up in a Greek home, you know, you want to talk about crazy passionate people. So I'm very interested. Lay it on me.
Okay. Well, all right. So thinking about your crazy passionate family, the first and foremost is if somebody's getting under your skin and you're about ready to bite back, remember to breathe. Take a couple of nice deep breaths into your belly. That pause will allow you to respond rather than react. So that's like super basic. And you can use that anywhere, anytime, if you're getting ready to go into a meeting you're anxious about or, you know, anyway, breathing is a really good
thing. You know, Amy, that's basic, Amy, but it bears worth repeating. I mean, it's so simple, but it is huge, because if you look at it from a neurological standpoint, they talk about the body's ability to respond, and we tend to go and act from the amygdala, a place of fear, the reptilian brain. And if you, they've proven it, if you stop, take a breath, you're able to shift it over to the prefrontal cortex in the front of the brain. But you have to actually stop and take a breath. And 9 out of 10 of us, I'm sure, don't do that.
Absolutely. And I love that you brought that science into it, because that's exactly it. It's, again, it's not woo-woo stuff. It's not, hey, la, 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 go ahead and take a breath. It is scientifically proven. If you take that pause, and what better way than to take that nice deep breath, you're oxygenating your system, you're helping your circulation, especially also if you breathe all the way down into the belly. In Chinese philosophy, the source of all of our energy is right there in the center of the body, below the belly button, called the dantian. Breathe into that dantian, and it can help create vitality and energy, and it just disconnects that reptilian brain a little bit.
And unclench your fists.
Yeah, and unclench your jaw.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so we got the breathing technique.
What's that?
Next.
Next. Okay. So another thing, and I love this idea, and we can unpack this as necessary. Consider the idea that unskillful behavior is coming from unmet needs.
Oh, God. Oh, God. I think I just hurt myself. Like, oh, God. I just felt nauseous. Ugh.
And that's where, you know, that's where we begin to move into compassion. Because if you take that moment of time to acknowledge that someone's unskillful behavior might actually be coming from unmet needs, then you can maybe give them a little bit of freedom or offer a little bit of acceptance. It doesn't mean you have to like what they're saying or what they're doing, but if you can spin it around and go, this person is not being a jerk purely because they're always a jerk. They're a jerk because they have some unmet need. You know, do they need to be seen? Do they need to be heard? Do they need to be loved? Are they hungry or hangry?
That's a good one.
You know,
or do they have an open throat in human design where they absolutely have to have all the attention?
Right.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because I do a lot of couples work with, believe it or not, with the tarot and with some of the feng shui counseling. And it's a very simple premise that rings true that you're saying, and it just sparked something in me. You know, let's just say, you know, that you're in a relationship with someone. Well, better yet, you have a family member, and you say, you make the statement that you love them. Well, if you love them, the
question is, would you want to hurt them, question mark? You know? And the answer is no. If you love someone, you want to contribute to their spiritual nourishment, to their spiritual well-being. And so if you're able to take that second and you're able to realize, oh, look at poor such and such. They're acting like an asshole because jeepers, mommy didn't love them enough, or you know, whatever it might be, and you're able to say, ah, I can take some time out to shower that person with love because I'm okay in my skin. I like me, the way you said
Bingo.
It at the beginning of the show.
Yep.
And that's an important piece because you know what happens is when you get triggered, it's that it brings up old childhood issues perhaps or experiences where you felt less than or you felt devalued or something like that. So what you're really reacting to isn't so much what's being said in the moment, but you're reacting to the feeling that was created probably sometime back in the relationship. So if you can recognize
yeah.
maybe in that space of breathing that you're reacting to the past more so than you are in the moment, maybe that would help.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. And so, you know, and then another thing that I would also bring to the table is to recognize that we have a choice over how we feel and how we react and what we fill our minds with. So if you're driving to Thanksgiving, you know, with trepidation because you and your brother-in-law have always clashed and you're thinking about all the times that you and your brother-in-law have clashed and you're working yourself up into a frenzy before you even get there, that's your choice. Or
right.
you can choose to go, huh, you know what? It's been crap in the past. But I have these really new tools that I learned on the radio show today, and I'm going to go and I'm going to just say, hi, how are you doing? And I'm going to, if he blows barf all over me, I'm going to go, okay, there's some unmet need. Let's see if I can find a way to be nice to him anyway.
You know, that sounds really good, Amy, except that I'm sure that there are some people who are going to say, this is just crap because every time I go to Thanksgiving, this is what happens. So, or they have the best of intentions, right? I'm going to go here and we're going to have this wonderful dinner. We're going to get along for once this year. And then it all goes to hell in a handbasket because, you know, your brother says something inappropriate or triggers you. So, we've got breathing in the moment, right? Breathing before you react. Is there any other tools that you have in the moment that can help you?
That's a great question. If necessary and possible, get up and move away. And this one is
great. I was
just
going to say the same thing. I was just going to say, get up and take a time out. Turn around on your heels. And that's exactly what I tell couples in couples therapy. Take a time out. That's brilliant.
And if you have a space to do it, one of the things I really love that transforms stress into vitality is to just kind of stand in a neutral posture and then gently begin flicking your hands and wrists and then begin shaking at the elbows, shaking at the shoulders, get your hips into it, get your spine into it, let your tailbone and your head bob, and speed it up as much as you need to speed it up. And that is a process of moving energy through your body. And think about it. All of those professional athletes, especially swimmers, you see them do it all the time.
Right. I noticed that during the Olympics this summer.
Yeah. And I don't know that they think of it in terms of, oh, I'm transforming stress into vitality. But it is a fabulous way of moving that really angsty energy out of your system really quickly so that then you can take another couple of deep breaths, walk back into the room and start new.
Great.
So
now,
I have a question for you.
Oh, go ahead, Jane.
Oops, go ahead. Didn't mean to step on you. Go ahead, go.
No. I was going to ask her to start taking us through with. Go ahead.
Okay. So the one question I have for you is you know, very often Janet and I, we'll talk behind the scenes. We'll have, you know, metaphysician talk, which is, oh, my God, I wish somebody would ask me something other than, am I going to get married? Am I going to win the lotto? And, you know, they're always the heavy hitters, the three big ones, love, money, and health. In your classes, in your lectures, what seems to be the biggest stumbling block for the people that come to you when they're seeking consultation from you? What seems to be the big heavy hitter?
Couple things. One is, in general, people haven't ever either been given the permission or haven't ever learned how to like themselves and be comfortable in their own skin. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of work with that. Second thing is that people often say, I don't have time to meditate. I don't have time to meditate. I don't, you know.
That's BS.
Exactly. It's, back to choice. Do you want to have a healthier, happier life? Yes or no? You can carve out 20 minutes of time that you would otherwise spend on social media or watching television and sit with yourself and cultivate that relationship with your internal wisdom. And that's where the change comes. And
you're becoming very unpopular now, madam. I can assure you, all the people that cannot, I mean, I see people in cafes, they're on dates and they're on their phone. I mean, when I throw dinner parties, I mean, people look at me like I have three heads. When I have dinner parties, not a joke, I collect cell phones and I tell them, unless you have somebody in the hospital, you'll get these back at the end of the evening.
Great job.
And they look at me like I have four heads. But, you know, I had one Christmas dinner almost ruined by this. And I thought, no, I love and respect myself enough and the food that I spent hours preparing to not have it usurped by a fucking iPhone.
Right. Right. And I mean, think about the inability that we have to connect with ourselves and with other people on a human level. You know, the irony is people are listening to this radio show online.
Yes.
You know, there's pros and cons to it, but you're absolutely right. It's BS if people say, I don't have 20 minutes to carve out in my day. And the way I teach meditation, it's about the quality, not the quantity. I'm not asking people to sit for 45 minutes staring at the wall.
Right.
Well, that being said, we have about 12 minutes left to our show, and I was wondering, if we could sort of, and it's up to you, Janet, how you want to fly with this. Do you think that there might be enough time to do, again, it's a different show, but a quickie, meditation? Would that work?
Yeah, I think that would be great, and especially if it's one like, you know, that can make us help us make or get centered, you know, kind of bring our energy back into alignment or something, because I feel like I'm out there.
Okay. I have one in mind that I'd like to share, and hopefully it will fit that bill. So for you two and anyone else that's listening, find a comfortable place to sit or lie down, or even if you're driving your car, that's totally fine. But let's start out by taking some nice deep breaths all the way into the belly. And if you have the opportunity, because you're not driving a car, to either close your eyes or drop your gaze, go ahead and do that. You can sit with your hands on your lap in whatever way is comfortable for you. And just think about bringing that breath all the way down into the dantian. Again, that's that center of the body, a couple inches below the belly button, that source of our own internal wisdom. And as you breathe out, imagine that along with the tensions in your body, you're also clearing your mind of any worries or anxiety or stories that might be present. And now create in your mind a compassionate image that represents the qualities of acceptance, kindness, strength, wisdom, or caring. It could be the image of a wise person you deeply respect, a religious figure, or a symbol that represents compassion. Or it could be an image from nature, such as an expansive blue sky, a warm grassy meadow, a lush rainforest bursting with life, or the sun, which shines its warmth and light on all beings without discrimination. Whatever comes to mind for you that embodies the idea of compassion, hold that in mind while you continue to breathe. Now imagine yourself in the presence of this source of compassion. Imagine its great, unending compassion flowing over you and surrounding you fully. And feel that in the presence of this compassionate image, you can be completely yourself. Nothing more, nothing less. There is no judgment, either from others or yourself. There's only total acceptance. And simply allow yourself to rest in this feeling of unconditional compassion and acceptance. Knowing that you are just fine exactly as you are. And imagine that as you stay in the presence of this compassionate image, it awakens in you your own source of strength, wisdom, self-acceptance, and compassion. And renewed by this connection to your own deep source of self-acceptance and compassion, recite in mind for yourself, I am safe. I am at ease. I am kind to myself and accept myself as I am. I'm filled with peace and joy. And now release that imagery and simply allow your mind to relax into the gentle ebb and flow of your breathing. Simply enjoy being without thinking or doing. And then bring your meditation to a close and take that feeling of being calm and centered into the rest of your day. So was that helpful, Janet?
Oh, gosh, yes. Darling, I'm floating.
I could listen to you all day.
Come take my class.
I told you she's really good at this. She's
you
really good at
good
this.
You give good talk.
Amy, now I want you, because we've only got a few minutes left here, but I want you to share with people, because people can connect with you, what is it, weekly, or is it in the morning you do a meditation?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, tell us about some of the things that you do online that people can join in with.
Yeah, so like I mentioned, right now I'm just on the cusp of starting a 6-week course series. And if that is of interest to anybody, the online class is Sunday mornings, 8 to 10 Pacific time. We use Google Hangouts as a platform. You can just, you know, dial. All you have to do is click a link. Voila, you're in. And that 6-week course covers everything from self-acceptance, self-compassion, compassion for loved ones, compassion for people you find to be difficult, and a couple of other things. So that's one option. And another thing that I just started, and it's totally great for you to, you know, anybody to go ahead and join in now, is that 5:30 in the morning Pacific time every weekday, I am on a call, and people, you know, there's a phone number to dial and a passcode to enter. And we do 25 minutes of guided meditation. We start out with a little bit of stretching to open up the meridians, get the energy flowing, and then I'll do a guided meditation like I just did there, or I've put together a mudra meditation series that helps us align our energies with a focus on compassion. So if people want to do that, they can also find out more about that and register for that. All of this information is available on my website at www.compassionatebalance.com. Or if you have specific questions, feel free to email me at Amy, A-M-Y, at compassionatebalance.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Amy, for everything. Great information, great meditation. And
you are just a beautiful divine soul. It's been such a pleasure to have you on the show to hear your wisdom.
Right.
Well, and many thanks to you both. And go ahead.
I was going to ask you if people want to email you, what is your email address?
It's Amy, A-M-Y, at compassionatebalance.com.
Nice.
And just as another side note, if there's anybody in the Puget Sound region, Seattle, Anacortes, Bellingham, on Saturday from 10 to 5 on Kamano Island, is a Northwest Mind Body Spirit Expo. They've got speakers listed out all day long. I'm going to be an exhibitor there. I have my books. I'm doing free hand massage. So if you're in the area, if you're anywhere near Kamano Island, come on by. It's supposed to be raining like cats and dogs on Saturday, so it might be a fun indoor thing to do and just check out all the different options from all the different providers there.
Nice. And that's on Kamano Island, you said?
Yep.
Very good.
And
well, thank you so much.
Can't remember the website, but.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I don't know.
You're welcome.
I hadn't heard about this.
We are having a little strange feedback and reverb. I don't know about you ladies, but I can hear that. And again, Amy, thank you so much. I hope that we are able to have you on the show again. And give us more tips on how to not light our family members on fire. That would be wonderful.
Oh gosh, does that really happen? That just cracks me up that people and families, you know, on the holidays have such a tough time. But never been my experience, so I'm really happy for that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, you are living a blessed life, Janet.
Right now, in that respect, oh yes.
So I take it to people on the East Coast here. We do not get the pleasure of being able to meditate with you at that time because that would be different for us time-wise. But people are able to go to your website and listen to your meditation. Is that correct?
Oh, that is correct. Absolutely. In fact, that compassionate image meditation is on my website. If you go to the meditation tab at the website, you'll actually have access to that. And I do have a YouTube channel, and you should be able to click into the YouTube channel from that website as well.
Oh, good
that
point.
Is
Amy,
exciting.
Is your YouTube channel for compassionate meditation, or is it under Amy Colvin?
Compassionate Balance.
Compassionate Balance, yeah, because I remember I went to that website and listened to a lot of the different meditations that you have there. So that's a great resource.
Yeah, yes, and that's I'm just checking real quickly because for some reason I've blanked out on what my channel name. But definitely, if you go to YouTube and actually you Google my name, or if you Google compassion, you'll start out with the one that are right and break it out.
Yeah, and we're having a horrible sound issue here, and I'm not sure what end this is coming from, but I will post this on the Facebook group or on my Living Astrology Facebook page with the links to your YouTube channel tomorrow so people can get that information. Again, you know, thank you so much, Amy, and I've enjoyed talking to you today, and thank you for that wonderful meditation. And Jason, thank you so much for co-hosting. And
it's always my pleasure. You make my day full of light and full of life. So it's my honor and pleasure to work with you.
Well, thank you so much. And everybody, thank you for listening to the show. And join us next week when we'll be talking about the super moon, full moon that's occurring on November 14th. So the show will be November 10th at 4 p.m. Until then, everyone, have a stellar week. Thank you for joining me today on Living Astrology. Living Astrology is part of the Empower You Media Network. You can find out more by going to www.living-astrology.com or by going to www.empoweryoumedia.com. If you would like to find out when our shows are airing, you can follow us at Blog Talk Radio under Living Astrology. Please consider liking us on Facebook. Our Facebook page is Living Astrology and also Empower You Media. Thank you so much for joining us. Bye for now. Have a stellar week.